Welcome back to Cross Examination, my favorite time of the week where we get me in all kinds of trouble by letting... And by the way, I just want to say for the record, I have no idea what we're watching right now. Cross Examination, for those of you who are new to the art of cross examination, is about looking at self-professed experts on the internet. Experts are everywhere on the internet. The internet has given new muse to the uninformed opinion. So we are here to look at them and see if they pass muster or if they're absolutely full of horse shit. Let's get after it.
Okay, so the first one isn't necessarily an individual video. This has just been all over the internet the last couple weeks.
Okay.
And I want you to respond to this. The idea that men saying that what they do in the relationship is work,
okay,
is no longer valid, because even if you weren't dating them, they would also still have to work. So women now are saying that a husband's sacrifice to go to work and provide is not actually a sacrifice, because even if you weren't married, they'd be going to work anyway.
I'm going to correct your verbiage. I don't think this is something all women are saying. I think there is a subsegment of women.
Okay, Mr. Literal, fine.
Yeah, there is a subsection of women on the internet. The husband doesn't sacrifice when they go to work to support their family, because if they had no family, they would still have to work. I'm going to call horse shit on that.
Thank you.
Because here's what I'll tell you. If I didn't have children, I would never have worked as hard as
no
I worked. And I would have a lot more money.
And like freedom and time.
I jokingly told my sons, like, you're my Ferrari and
yes,
you're my Lamborghini.
Yes.
Like, the amount of money that you spend on children. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of men that would not work anywhere near as hard if they weren't providers. They would actually probably not even have like a home. They would just sleep in their office and shower at the gym. Like, if they do their job and they enjoy their job, that they would do it for the love of the game. But most guys that I know work at the level that they work at, either to attract a potential spouse who will see them as a good provider, or once they have a spouse and or children, to be a good provider for the spouse and children. It's not just for themselves. It's to attract a mate, or to sustain and keep a mate and support their mate. I don't think that is accurate. That's kind of like saying if a wife cooks for her husband, it's not a sacrifice or work, because she'd have to eat anyway. She'd have to cook anyway. Like, I think that devalues the concept, you know, which is like, yeah, people have to do the things you have to do to live, right? Like, to say, well, they would have to have a home anyway, right? But they wouldn't have to have a home that has multiple rooms if they didn't have children. Or, you know, they have to drive and have a car anyway, right? But they probably wouldn't get a station wagon or a minivan. Like, they would get a two-door, you know, they wouldn't need to have more room. So I think we do accommodate ourselves, and to suggest otherwise is very silly.
Next up, we have another trend on social media that I've been seeing, and it is the mental load versus worrying. And the argument is that the mental load that often females talk about are literal things. I have to sign up the kids, I have to pack their lunches, things that you do. Whereas a male version, stereotypical male version of mental load, is worrying about finances and providing, but that it is not real. It's worry, it's anxiety
it's
in your
head.
It's
a phantom in your head.
Yes, versus what women are struggling with are tangible things that need to be done.
Now, the two examples you just gave take a collective total of maybe 15 minutes, right? Like, I'm just saying, did you pick deliberately two inflammatory, or does someone use those as an example?
Those are usually the ones I hear.
Because, like,
sign the kids up.
The last, sign the kids up for what?
Oh, no. Like, activities.
Like, on the internet? Like the post you did just took longer than that. Like, I know that as someone who signed kids up for things on the internet, like, it wasn't like I was like, oh shit, I got to do that today. Like, it wasn't like buying Jay-Z at Yankee Stadium tickets, guys, where you're going to be in there in that waiting queue for an hour and then be told there's no damn tickets. So even though you're a season ticket holder, I'm not mad. It's fine.
No, not
it's
at
great.
All.
I didn't want to see Reasonable Doubt live.
No.
I don't care. I'm not mad at all. But yeah, look, I okay. I mean, again, does anybody actually think the solution to the rift between men and women is continually saying how the other one's pain is meaningless?
Seriously.
Like, is this helping anybody? Has anybody ever felt better when someone said, man, I broke my arm, and the other person went, well, I broke my leg once. What do you want me to do? I mean, you know, that's a lot worse. Your leg's a lot bigger. Like, okay.
Welcome to the internet, Jim.
Dude, like, what are you
doing? I wake up earlier than you do. I do my laundry better than you.
We are not helping ourselves with this behavior. It's not, do you think that any man would hear this analysis and go, you're right. You know what? Like, women really do deal with it. No, like, it's, you're dismissing this person's, like, you could say, hey, you know, what you're dealing with is a serious thing. By the way, everything's in your head. gang. Right, everything's in your head. Like, I don't have to be like a proponent of non-ordinary states of consciousness to suggest that like a lot of what you perceive to be is a function of your head. We live in our imaginations. We're constantly thinking about the future, which hasn't happened yet and is an imagination based on past experience. And we're revisiting the story of our past that we reframe using memory. So we are creatures of imagination, and we live a lot of the time in our imagined life, not in the present moment, because we're not Buddhist monks and we're not all like centered in the present moment. We're thinking about the future. We're thinking about the past. We're informing the present with our projections of the future and our reminiscence of the past. So to say that, oh, well, the things that men are upset about is just in their head. Okay, the stress of the things you're claiming are stressful is all in your head. You can choose to view signing your kids up for things and making them lunch as a chore that you have to carry, or a wonderful privilege that you get to enjoy doing. I'm sure someone whose children died tragically would love to pack their lunches. They wish they had the problem of, oh my God, every morning I get to pack their lunches. I bet that person would be heartbroken at the thought that I'm never going to pack a lunch again for my kids. Like, so to look at that and go, the chore of that. Okay, that's how you're framing it. And if you hate your, by the way, you don't have to have children. I know I'm going to get killed on this again, but you don't have to have kids. If having kids is such a drudgery and the worst thing and the most work, and it's just the hardest job in the whole wide world, why are you having kids? Don't have kids, by the way. And then don't be surprised when birth rates are falling and young women are going, yeah, why would I want to have kids? Why would you want to have kids with 90% of the internet being people talking about what a drudgery it is and how horrible it is and how much work it is and how no one understands how difficult it is? Do you enjoy any aspect of parenting? I'd like to think you do. I survived parenting children. It was really hard sometimes, but net net, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like, I hope your kids don't grow up to listen to, when they're older, you talking about how horrible it was to have to take care of them and how much work and labor it was to have to do. Like, maybe just like enjoy the fact that you have these kids and that you get to parent them, and that there are lots of people that wish they could have kids or are doing every kind of medical intervention possible to be able to have children, or are trying to adopt children, or have lost their children, or are separated from their children as a function of geography or as a function of borders or as a function of employment obligations or being deployed in the service, and they wish they had to pick their kids' lunches every morning. I don't know, gang. Like, it's just a matter of framing.
Next up, we have Happily Affair After. She's on Instagram trying to, you know, navigate people who have affairs.
I'm sure that's going great.
Yeah, she does not get a lot of support.
You think?
But she...
You don't think women are out there supporting this girl boss, huh?
This next video is for the people who think that they're above having an affair until they aren't.
About a year and a half ago, I had an affair. This is my list for others to help them avoid finding themselves in the same situation I did in my own life. Number one, never assume that you are above having an affair. I'll get back to why that is important in just a little bit, but anyone is capable of having an affair. I don't care how moral you think you are. I don't care how high of a character you think you have. Given the right circumstances, anyone is capable of finding themselves in this situation. And when I say the right circumstances,
I'm going to say I don't disagree with what she's saying. I think, having worked in divorce law for over 20 years, I think I have a PhD in infidelity. I've represented cheaters and cheated on in roughly equal measure. Very few of these people went and said, I think I want to ruin my life and, you know, create a wake of unhappiness for other people. I think it's people trying to find happiness and fulfillment. And this has been a problem for a really long time. You know, the example I always give is, even if you're not a religious person, you know, there were 10 commandments in the Bible, and the Bible's been around for a long time. Even if you don't believe in it, it's been around for a really long time. And allegedly God handed down 10 rules. Thou shalt not kill got one, but don't commit adultery essentially got two. Don't covet your neighbor's wife and don't commit adultery. So it's almost like God was like doing Fight Club, where he's like, first rule is don't talk about Fight Club. And the second rule is don't talk about Fight Club. He was like, the first rule is don't covet your neighbor's wife. The second rule is don't fuck your neighbor's wife or someone else who you're not married to. Seriously, guys. Now, what that'll tell you is, again, whether or not an omnipotent creator deity was handing down a list of rules, you know, talking through a burning bush or anything, I don't know if that's true or not. I wasn't there. But what I will say is, it's been a problem for a really long time. Like, I think infidelity has been around probably about like 5 minutes less long than monogamy. Like, monogamy was invented, and then like 10 minutes later, infidelity was probably invented. And it is something that, you know, I've seen both genders cheat. I've seen, you know, people that were having an active sex life or not having an active sex life. I've seen people that had kids, didn't have kids. I've seen people that were highly sexualized in their marriage that had sexualized affairs, people that weren't sexual in their marriage that were very sexualized in their affairs. I've seen people that had bizarre, kink-filled, fetish-filled affairs that their spouse was like, I had no idea they were into feet. I had no idea at all. And then they have this like foot-centered affair. I've had people who are, you know, in heterosexual relationships having homosexual affairs. I've had people that are in homosexual relationships having heterosexual affairs. Like, it's a fucking free-for-all out there. Everybody's sleeping with everybody. And, you know, I think, yeah, if you, the minute you think you're above that and are never capable of that, I think that you can set yourself up for failure and for there to be problems in your life. I think that as soon as you get too comfortable. Summer is almost upon us, gang, and now is the time to get dialed in on your health. Look, I've always said it, you gotta stay top-notch healthy and measure what matters, and that's where Marek Health comes in. Marek Health offers you the four-pillar plan, one-on-one health coaching, individualized approaches to everything, lab work and blood panels. They're using real data and paying attention. This is not just blind, flying blind stuff. This is real deal numbers and tracking your metrics. Direct medical provider access, no more waiting around in waiting rooms. This is a simple process of working with a physician who's really going to pay attention to what it is that you need individually based on your blood panels and your goals. And one-stop shopping convenience, Marek can help get you dialed in with the peptides, TRT. Sign up today, MarekHealth.com/Sexton. Offer code Sexton for 10% off. We are very excited to be part of the Marek Health team.
Next up, we have Nico Emanuelidoulos.
Wow, you really crushed that.
Yeah,
one.
Smoked it. Emanuelidis. It's some fucking
Are you okay? Are you
Greek name? Yeah.
Do you taste metal?
Nico's yeah. His name, all right?
He's reading the eye chart.
I'm sorry, Nico.
Yeah, Nico.
But he invented the daddy matrix. And I think this is up there with the hot crazy matrix as far as things that'll stand the test of time on the internet.
All right, let's see it.
All right, I'm done fucking around. This is the daddy matrix. Welcome to the daddy academy. You got me making diagrams now. Let's break it down.
I like this guy.
I like him too. Class,
the y-axis, attraction, 10, 0. X-axis, consistency. Bozo zone, okay?
Oh,
the
I
bozo
love this.
Zone, low consistency, okay, could be low attraction, or could be very high attraction, okay? These are the guys that are just gonna treat you like absolute dog shit, regardless of how attracted they are. The fun zone. This is if you're someone who's into casual, maybe you're just out of a relationship and you just wanna kind of do your thing for a little bit. That's the fun zone. We could stay there for a little
wow.
bit. A little quick trip to Bangtown fun zone, then we gotta get out of there. Okay, danger zone. We don't like that. Okay, danger zone is high attraction
and mid-consistency.
That's
wow.
almost there.
This is the hot crazy
zone.
Matrix. Yes.
These are the guys that are going to feel like you're in a relationship, but you're not, because it's that extra level of effort to get over the hump that he's not willing to do, and he's never going to do it. To get into the daddy zone. Okay, yep. This is what we want. This is hubby. Okay, daddy zone. High consistency, extreme consistency. You're going to feel fucking the effort up the wazoo here, and attraction. And great attraction.
There it is.
This is your man. Your man is in the daddy zone. Take a look below. This is the nice guy zone. Okay, the nice guy.
A lot of nice guys out there.
But not attractive.
This is the guy that you guys get pursued by. But
so your thoughts on the daddy matrix.
I mean, this is
brilliant.
The best example I've seen of the female equivalent of what was called the hot crazy matrix, which for those of you who haven't seen the hot crazy matrix, it's essentially that same kind of diagram, but it has to do with women as being hot is one scale and the other is crazy. And so like hot, super hot and super crazy is a problem, but you want super high on the hot scale, super low on the crazy scale. And I think he calls that unicorns or wife material.
Mm-hmm.
And then like not hot and crazy is like the worst possible thing. That would be the bozo zone and the equivalent. But listen, I think what's interesting is what are the axis, you know, and the axis in this, which is instructive for men, what is it women are looking for? Attraction, which of course we're all looking for attraction. Consistency. There's something to be said for the fact that that is where that other matrix, like that's the other grid line on this. And it's the other variable. And that's something that men should be paying attention to, is that women are looking for consistency. It is in some ways as important as attraction, but you need the balance of both. Like there is a very common theme happening in women's posts on social media when they're talking about men, when they say things like, why don't men approach women anymore? I was out the other day and I was at the gym and I saw this cute guy and I was smiling at him and he wouldn't approach me. And really what women are saying is, listen, we'd like attractive guys to approach us and we'd like unattractive guys to leave us alone. Who wouldn't? I get that. Like, if you said, like, listen, I would like attractive women to approach me and I would like unattractive women to leave me alone. Well, that makes sense, but that's not how it works. Like, either you want to be approached, and that means every once in a while you're going to get approached by a person you don't find attractive and you have to find a way to beg out of that situation, or we have to teach people how to be rejected without engaging into something that becomes inappropriate or uncomfortable for anybody. And we have to just sort of learn to be able to beg off on both ends of that equation without it being an issue. But I think this is a very cool thing. I take back the slight making fun of the guy's last name or your pronunciation of it. He gets a thumbs up from me.
Okay. The next two, we'll wrap up on these next two, okay. And they go together. The first one has been it's a very funny trend going around the internet right now. Let's of treat if women treated men the way men treat women.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
Yeah.
Took him out to eat, let him in, and sent him out in an Uber. Just like they do to us. Let's see how he likes it.
All right, thanks.
The whole aesthetic of that guy, his clothes, his hair.
I've seen a couple versions of this, and it did make me laugh every time. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's true. I think that, you know, I have seen this since, like, Sex in the City Samantha days. You know, like, there was this sort of trend when Sex in the City was very popular in the late 90s, early aughts, really, where all of a sudden it was like, well, you know, we can just sleep with men too. And men were like, yeah, it'd be great. Like, that's super. Like, it'd be like, well, you'd be more comfortable at your own place. You'd be like, oh my God, I totally would be. I'll see you. Like, so I don't think it always works that way, you know? And I think that there are some distinctions there between how many women and many men approach intimacy and relationship and connection. I have said before, I genuinely believe that in society, women are the gatekeepers of sex more so than men. And that when we are in a society where women have a higher standard they hold men to, men end up having to toe the line to that. The problem is there's always some women to get a competitive edge that are going to say, okay, I'm going to let this person break these rules, because if I let the guard down lower, I get a larger number of potential suitors. But the question really becomes, like, if women were united about these issues and said, look, we're not shaving our legs anymore. Sorry, we don't like it. We're not doing it anymore. Men wouldn't be like, well, then we're not having sex with you. We do whatever. You could be like, we're going to be covered in locusts from now on. We'd be like, that's cool. We'll move it aside. It's fine. Like, if you guys were like, we're not wearing nice clothes anymore, we're all going to wear burlap sacks, we'd be like, dude, did you see the burlap sack? Oh, she looked good, man. Like, it was just, it's what we would do. Yeah. Like, because we're going to adapt to this, you know, but there would just be that one woman who was like, I don't wear burlap sacks. I don't know. For me, I just like wearing something other than that, because she wanted the competitive edge. And that would create this endless cycle that then, humorously enough, women blame men for and go like, oh, men only like. And it's like, well, no, men will take whatever. Like, we'll go for literally whatever options are given. Yeah. And if it's low hanging fruit, we'll definitely go for the low hanging fruit. But that's not something that you can solely blame men for.
Next up, we have the ultimate mom challenge on Instagram, who said that in order to communicate with men, you have to start speaking their language.
Okay.
Your husband struggles to understand the mental load because you're not speaking in his language. Next time he says something atrocious like, let me know if you need any help, here's what you say. Honey, does a quarterback who has the ball and is about to be tackled by a 10-foot tall goon reach out to his team and say, little help here? No, he doesn't need to ask for help because his teammates all see what is around them and has the insight and the common goal they're all working towards to know exactly what to do. You are. Okay.
So, and this was, do you remember this post? Because you commented on this.
Yeah, I commented on it because I thought her use of the word, when your husband says something atrocious, if you feel atrocious is the right adjective
insanity
to use when describing your husband saying, let me know if you need any help. I suspect I'll be seeing you or your husband in my office sometime soon. Like, I think this is a shockingly bad take. I think atrocious, like, is that the word? Like, atrocious?
Dude, like, the Holocaust was atrocious. Not your husband asking, like, how can I help you?
Ketchup on a hot dog, I would say, is atrocious. like, this is, your husband asking you, let me know if you need any help. And by the way, the thing about football, as opposed to, like, running a household together, the ecosystem of a home, the rules are really clear and the roles are really clear in football. So like an inside linebacker doesn't have to worry about how good they are at throwing the ball, right? Like that's not their job. So, you know, they're everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And by the way, the quarterback, his job is to call the play. His job is to call an audible. Like, I'm not a football guy, but I get that. I know that. So it's a bad metaphor to begin with. But the suggestion that, like, again, that men should or women should read each other's minds and know exactly what someone needs in the moment that they need it. And by the way, also be able to do it the right way and in a way that they're not going to get criticized for it. Because I do have to say there's also a ton of content out there about, well, I told him to get mustard, but he gets the wrong mustard. He doesn't know what mustard to get. Okay, so if I ask, do you need anything? I need mustard. What kind of mustard specifically? What are you, a child? Well, how am I supposed to do it if I'm going to get yelled at that I did it wrong? Like, what are you doing here? So I just think give each other a little bit more grace. I don't think if your partner, male or female, says, let me know if you need any help, atrocious is ever the adjective to describe that. That's going to do it for today's cross-examination. We're watching the internet, so you don't have to. Go do something more productive. Touch grass, call your mom, I don't know, anything. Read a book. Like, do something else. We'll point out the stuff you really need to see. Remember to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It really does help the channel. Join us for Better Call Sexton this week. And remember to check us out at sextonshow.com and on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. For now, we are adjourned.